We're starting the third triad of values, the outreach, and then next week we've got justice and love, and then I imagine you'll go back to regular programming and might see me more back there than up here. But it's been lovely to be able to share with you across these three teachings on values. We're in Genesis chapter 12 and John chapter 20 this evening, so I encourage you to flip to Genesis chapter 12 for a moment. Page 15, or whatever number your iPhone or iPad has it on. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Then over in John chapter 20, page 1647, John 20, verses 19 to 22. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Would you pray with me? Father God, we give thanks again for Jesus, your living word, for Scripture, your written word, and for the good news of the gospel which you have entrusted to us. We come again deeply dependent on your Spirit for the help that we need to hear and understand and obey whatever it is you want to say to us today. So we pray, come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher. Amen. So we've been exploring new vision and values over the last 7 weeks, and we've gone through six values: Scripture, prayer, generosity, diversity, community, creativity. And as I said earlier, we come to the third triad this evening: outreach, and then justice and love. The blog is still up and running. We would love to hear feedback from you as to the values, your thoughts on the values generally. And if you have questions or comments, we would invite them there as well. But this evening, we're looking at the value of outreach, and here's how we describe it. We value outreach. We're committed to engaging the community beyond ourselves through actions and words that communicate the love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And if you were to ask me why value outreach as a church, I would say that we worship and serve a God who constantly reaches out to those beyond himself, who calls and sends those he reaches to reach out to others. To put it most succinctly, our God is a missionary God. God is on a mission to rescue and restore his creation, and he invites us to join him as partners in his mission. As Rob noted last week, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, a community of love, reached out beyond themselves and created the world in love. And God gave humans the responsibility of governing the world as God's vice regents. Humans were entrusted with the task of caring for and cultivating the world, of discovering and developing its potential, of directing its possibilities in ways that would benefit its inhabitants and bring glory to God. Unfortunately, the first humans chose to distrust and disobey God, and as a result found themselves entangled in shame and alienation, enslaved to the forces of evil, and estranged from the created order, which was cursed and subjected to frustration and futility. And when the dust finally settles on the fallout from sin, which included alienation and shame and murder, boasting, every sort of abuse and arrogance, God reaches out again to work at restoring his creation. He begins with one man, Adam, whom he calls and promises to bless, so that he and his family can be a blessing to all the families of the earth. God appears to Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees, which is southeastern Iraq, and tells him to leave his homeland and go on a journey to a place that God would lead him to. His journey eventually took him and his family to the land of Canaan, which God then promised to his descendants, who became the people of Israel. Abraham followed God through a maze of confusion, doubts, and misstep. He followed falteringly, and on several occasions he came close to jeopardizing his mission. But God walked with him and waited on him as he grew in faith. And that's been God's plan and program for bringing healing and reconciliation and renewal and restoration to his creation. He has chosen to walk with and to work in and with and through human beings. Though flawed and fragile and prone to failure, God is committed to working in us first to renew and restore his image. And as he does that, he sends us out to partner with him in bringing healing and restoration to the world. He sends us out to demonstrate and display his renewing and reconciling power, and to announce to the people that we encounter that the grace and power for such healing and such reconciliation and renewal can be theirs as well. The project that God started with the call of Abraham continued throughout the Old Testament, through the rise and fall of the nation of Israel, and eventually comes to fulfillment in Jesus, the God-man. Jesus came to renew his people Israel. In his life and teachings, he provided them with the most complete revelation of God, a God of love and mercy and compassion and justice and grace. He announced that in and through him, God's kingdom had arrived, and he demonstrated the power of that kingdom through his miracles. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for sin. In doing so, he defeated the forces of darkness. He broke the power of sin, and he opened for us the way to be reconciled to God and restored to our true human selves. During his ministry, Jesus sent his disciples throughout the towns of Israel to teach and to heal as he had been doing. And after his resurrection, he gave them the Holy Spirit. And he sent them out with the commission to be witnesses, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. As the Father had sent Jesus to participate in his mission to rescue and restore creation, so Jesus sends his followers out to continue the mission. We who have been the recipients of the good news of Jesus, we who have experienced his healing, love, and transforming power, we who seek his kingdom and submit to his lordship, are called to join him in this mission, to share his love with others. That's why we value outreach. Having experienced the love of Jesus, we are sent to share it with others. That's why we're committed to engage in the community beyond ourselves through actions and words that communicate the love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And that can happen in any number of ways, like sharing a meal with your neighbor or helping a colleague at work or hanging out with someone who is lonely or ignored at school or being patient and kind with the person at customer service. As a community, there are many ways we engage in outreach. All of our departments are involved in outreach in one way or another. The Pumpkin Bash, Vacation Bible School to Kids, our ESL Coffee and Conversation, our support groups, the bags that we give out at Christmas, the citywide food drive, or our partnership with the Bridge on 20th, Canadian Blood Services, or the Quest with summer camps. We support missionaries. We send out missionaries like the Dirksons, and we support others like Tara Rain. And many of you have gone out in one context or another on short-term mission experience, whether to Rwanda or St. Vincent or Mexico. Some of these are organized through our church and other through other missions agencies. And just this morning, this past week, Arlene Jorgensen from our Sunday morning community went off to Colombia to work with a group from Leader Impact, a division of Power to Change, and they'll be connecting with professionals and business people in that context and sharing the gospel with them. Later this week, Tanis Landry will be going off to visit the Dirksons for a couple of weeks. Tanis is Wendy Dirksen's sister, and she'll be off with them. And she shared with us this morning that when she comes back, she's hoping to do a steak night on the 3rd of December. That's Wendy there with folks in Rwanda. But Tanis will be hosting a steak night to raise funds for Ken and Wendy and for their initiatives in Rwanda. And she'll be bringing back a bunch of crafts. They've shipped some crafts already. And to help some of the people that struggle in the community there, she'll be having crafts on sale for donation on the 6th. Some of the crafts will be available at the steak night, and then some will be available here on Sunday during the services. Instead of our bake sales and cake sales we normally have, we'll have a craft sale for Rwanda on the 6th of December, so you can plan for that. In February, Tessa Verdau, one of our youth, will be going off to Bolivia with others from the Christian school, and she's hoping to sell pizzas next Sunday as a fundraiser. So if you're interested in pizzas, you may be able to buy some from Tessa for as part of that. But these are some of the ways that we engage in sending people overseas to serve in God's mission. And I celebrate our participation in these mission experiences and want to see them continue. But I confess that I sometimes feel a little ambivalent about holding them up the way we do and calling attention to them, because I wonder sometimes if in doing that, if in doing so, in giving that much attention to them, we don't give the impression that that is where the action is. That is where true mission and outreach happens, when you go overseas. And I'm convinced that that is good and that is important, but there's much more to mission and outreach than sending people overseas. I wrestle with emphasizing those experiences because I believe that all of us are sent into the mission field, day by day by day. As followers of Jesus, each of us are on mission for Him daily. In the places that we find ourselves, as we go to work or attend classes, as we participate in sports or hang out with friends or family or neighbors. Week after week, we gather for worship to reorient ourselves to Jesus, to reconnect with Him as our source of strength and power, to remind ourselves of the story that we're a part of. And then we scatter. And as we scatter, we are sent again into our communities to represent Jesus and His kingdom, to bear witness to His love and mercy and grace. You see, the quality of our work, the work that we do day by day, bears witness to Jesus, whether in the office or in the shop or the classroom. The quality of our work bears witness to Jesus. The nature of our relationships with our neighbors or our colleagues or classmates bears witness to Jesus. Our interactions with customers or clients, with teachers or students, with family or friends, all bear witness to Jesus and His love. Wherever we find ourselves day by day, that is our mission field. Wherever we go, we are on mission for Jesus. So I often feel that we should be praying for all of us as we go, and we should be holding up different groups of us week after week to remind our people, to remind us to be in prayer for different ones of you. And I recognize that sometimes a more natural it'd be good to do that for teachers and students in September, but maybe we need to find ways to call attention to other groups of people as you go out into the mission field week after week, not just those who are going overseas on mission. There's a statement by Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher from a couple centuries ago, that has been rattling around in my head lately. Spurgeon said, "Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter." ponder that for a minute. Every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Now, we may quibble with his use of the word imposter, but we should pay attention to the impulse of his comment. That is that each of us is called to live on mission. Each of us is called to engage in outreach as an extension of our love for Jesus and our commitment to follow and serve him as Lord in his kingdom. Like the Mission Impossible movies, Jesus offers us our mission. And the question is whether we will choose to accept it or not. And if we don't, can we really say that we are following him as he wants us to? We engage in outreach as a community, and we do so personally. We do so through acts of kindness and through deeds of service, and we do so by telling the story of Jesus, by sharing the good news that in Jesus, God has acted to rescue and restore his creation, to reconcile people to himself. We demonstrate the gospel through our lives and actions, and we declare the gospel in conversation as we tell others about Jesus and his love, as we speak about his healing grace and a transforming power. Now, for us as a community, and for most of us personally, I think that the deed sides of the outreach equation comes more naturally. It may be demanding at times to love and serve others, but I would say that we work at that more readily than the word side of the equation. Most of us find it a challenge to bear witness to Jesus through our words. It is more intimidating and paralyzing for us to think about speaking about Jesus to our neighbors and our co-workers. Just this past week, I was having coffee with someone and this topic came up. And that person said to me, "I've been overseas several times and I have no problems telling people about Jesus there, but I have a hard time speaking to my neighbor about him." And I get that. I get that. I wrestle with that myself at times. Our culture has made it harder for us to do so. We're afraid to offend. We don't want to be seen as pushing our views on others. So we shrink back at the thought of speaking of Jesus, speaking of our love for Jesus, sharing our experience of his love and grace. But it's part of the package of following Jesus. He calls us to follow, and he sends us out as witnesses. And a witness doesn't force his or her opinion on others. It's not the job of a witness to convince others. A witness simply speaks of what he or she has experienced, of what he or she has seen and heard. And that is what Jesus sends us to do, to be his witnesses, to join him in the mission of reaching out to the world around us and sharing his love with them through actions and words. Some time ago, I came across an acronym that uses the word BLESS to communicate one way that we may consider approaching this issue of outreach, of being on mission and bearing witness to Jesus. It's a set of practices developed by a church in Chicago, and it's based on the Genesis 12 passage that we read earlier, where God says to Abraham, "I will bless you and make you a great nation, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So here's an invitation to bless. The B stands for begin with prayer. We begin by asking God, "Who would you like me to bless today? God, where are you at work, and how can I join you there?" We begin praying for our neighbors and our colleagues and saying, "God, show me where you would like me to reach out to." And then we pay attention to the promptings of the Spirit, to the nudges, and we respond there. So the B is begin with prayer. The L is for listen. We take time to listen intentionally and attentively to the people that we interact with, our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues and classmates. We take an interest in them. And we ask questions to get to know them better. Questions like, "What do you get excited about? What matters most to you? What challenges are you facing? Do you ever think about God? How do you feel about Jesus? Now, you're not going to run those questions one after the other. Right? Some of those later questions you want to leave for later in the relationship. But questions like those can open the door for conversations about faith. So we listen. We eat. We look for opportunities to share a meal with others. We invite people over to our place for a meal. We invite them out for coffee. And we engage in conversation. That we sharing meals help to deepen relationships. And the walls that we often put up around us, the barriers that we build up, are often lowered as we engage in meals, provide opportunities for richer conversations. We serve. As we pray and listen and eat together, we look for opportunities to serve them. We offer to help in whatever way we can. And then we tell the story. When the opportunity arises, we tell our story. We tell the story of Jesus, the story of his love for us, the story of how we found our way back to God through him. Now, you can look at that as a programmatic way of doing it, or you can look at that as a framework for thinking through something like this. It will take effort and time and intentionality. It will take commitment and perseverance on our part, and it requires that we treat people as people, not as projects. Many will never be interested in hearing about Jesus, but we seek to love and to serve them anyway. This strategy to bless is one simple way that we begin to think about engaging more intentionally in outreach as a community. And I'd want to encourage you to consider experimenting with this approach, giving it a stab, sharing your attempts with small group or a few friends, and encouraging each other in this mission. We're blessed to be a blessing. We've inherited the promises God made to Abraham. Jesus was sent by God to fulfill that promise, and as he was sent, Jesus sends his followers, which includes you and me, to continue to fulfill and extend that promised blessing to others. May we embrace our commission and engage in that mission. May we reach out and bless others as we have been blessed. We value outreach. We're committed to engaging the community beyond ourselves through actions and words that communicate the love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. The table before us is a reminder of the blessings we have received from Jesus. Blessings like forgiveness and healing, and reconciliation and new life, and so much more. And as we eat and drink of the body and blood of Jesus, we come to be nourished and strengthened for the mission of sharing the good news about him with others. The Apostle Paul reminds us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a piece of bread and gave thanks, passed it to his disciples and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." And after supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me." And so our practice is here to allow the worship team to go first, and then as they lead us in music, we come forward and partake of the bread and the juice. There's hand sanitizers at the front and the back. The bread is gluten-free and lactose-free. It's free enough that we can all partake readily of it. I encourage you to come and break off a chunk, dip it in the juice, and eat and drink to remember Jesus. And if you'd like to be prayed for, Christy, who led us in community prayer, will be at the back. And she'd be happy to spend time praying with you. Would you pray with me?